I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff, the podcast that celebrates those who live, love, and breathe rock and roll.
From the incredible groupies, girlfriends, and wives who went after what and who they wanted,
to the journalists, photographers, and other behind-the-scenes characters who play such an important part in rock and roll history.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
This episode is brought to you by Electrified Porcupine,
bringing you the best in collectibles, movies, music, wrestling, gaming, and more. Check it out at electrifiedporcupine.com. Peter, Zombie. Hi. Hello, hi.
Hi. Hi.
So, our listeners may recognize you and the Electrified Porcupine name by the spot that we have running at the beginning of every episode. So, welcome and thank you for coming on as a guest to our podcast.
Well, thank you. I just think it's really cool that you guys do that for me as well. It's awesome.
We're happy to do it. And we think that what you do is really, really interesting. And we want to, I guess, for those who maybe just hear the ad or haven't checked it out or people who are new to the podcast, we want you to kind of explain to people, if they were to go onto your website, electrifiedporcupine.com, what would they find there?
Well, I guess they just find a plethora of excellence, I suppose. No, but what I mean by that, I guess, is just that I always just, I don't know, I like taking all the stuff that I get because it's just a hobby that I've had since high school. And, you know, I've been inspired by many sites. You know, I've gotten inspiration from excellent sites like, you know, Pixel Dan does a lot of things in the U.S. and the Foosh. And Toy Arc and a whole bunch of other places. And a lot of people just said, why aren't you just taking your stuff and doing it? And I just never thought I could really, I don't know, I didn't think I could do it.
Well, but obviously then I just started, you did do it.
You know, I've always, yeah, I mean, I've always loved writing. I've written for many different kind of media since high school. And I've never had an issue with writing. It was always just like, well, okay, you need to do all this social media. You got to do the blogging. You got to do all the photography. You got to do the editing. You got to do a YouTube site. Because if you don't have any aspect of it, I figured that you don't reach the audience that you really could. So I just had to become like a jack of all trades and do it all. So it's basically taking all the stuff that I like to get for myself. So action figures and music and blogging about wrestling and anything else I really feel like doing, and just doing it up and posting it to see if anything sticks.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that your interest sort of developed in high school.
I'd say before that. No way. This is not a this. Maybe he was born with it.
All right.
Yeah.
Was there a certain band or film or collectible figure that sort of like started you on your way?
I think it's just my mom was always just really good to me by always buying me Star Wars figures when I was a kid, and Chantel's mom being my aunt and everything too. Like I just remember even being, you know, a kid and acting out Return of the Jedi things with my sister for her amusement. And, you know, I was always lucky that, you know, my mom would be the one who would get me those figures, or she'd get me Masters of the Universe stuff. And always let me be creative. It was also too, like when you know, I started playing music as well too. I ended up in a band called Groundclaw.
We had the CD.
Did another band, If Nothing. I did 20 Gauge Ticket. I did a couple of things, and it's just, you know, love of playing music. And you know, my mom was always really cool with that too. That, you know, I wanted to get a CD player. She helped me get a CD player. I get, you know, drums and, you know, a guitar to play, because I started, you know, just humming things, trying to tell the guys that I played in bands with to be like, you know, it should go like this. And they're like, I don't know what that is. So I just picked up a guitar. So I don't know if people remember that old song in the 90s, Low by Cracker. And it used to be on the radio all the time, and we have this one guitar player that, I mean, this guy could shred Eruption from Van Halen or Eddie Van Halen with like no problem, and yet he couldn't play three chords in a row. And it was just wild that, you know, after about 45 minutes of standing behind my drum kit, that I just walked over and I picked up the guitar and I'm like, idiot, it goes like this. And they're like, how do you know how to play guitar? I'm like, I just sat and watched you guys play the same three chords for 45 minutes. So, you know, it was just, you know, now I'm really on a tangent, but it you know, it all started just, I've always had a supportive mother and family and people around me. So it's, I just feel very privileged.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, to say
I think that,
I've had.
Sorry, keep going.
Oh no, that's it. I was taking.
I really like how you were saying about watching your friends and just being like, I did this for 45 minutes and now I'm just showing you what to do. And I think it says a lot about who you are, because you were my kind of cool cousin. You know, you had long hair, it was dyed,
you had
earrings, and I was always very, very interested, and you were always funny, and you were always sweet and kind and interesting. And
don't forget my Freddy posters.
I was not gonna let this interview go by without mentioning those. So before I get to that, let me praise you before I scold you. So
oh, thank you.
So yeah, Cool Cousin had the drums in his basement at home. There was cartooning all over the walls. People had drawn things. It was just so artistic.
Oh, shit, we should get some of those and see if we can post those.
Yeah, we should find some of those pictures.
I don't even think that on the site that I've ever posted the pictures of what everybody contributed to that basement. There's another thing where my mom was so cool with that we had band logos, we had Pantera, we had Slayer, we had Cannibal Corpse, we had Typo Negative, we had Foo
Mr.
Fighters.
Mr. Dress-Up characters?
Yeah, we had Casey and Finnegan.
Yeah.
And my mom, even when she was selling that house, didn't make us scrape that crap off the basement wall.
Mm-hmm. That's a cool mom.
Yeah. She is a cool mom.
All right. This episode's dedicated to our cool moms.
It is. We'll cheers to our cool moms.
And then I'm going to scold you because I did really enjoy always walking, like seeing everything that you had going on in your room, because I always had a lot of posters up and things like that. And a lot of questions that we like to ask people are, what were the posters that you had up on your wall when you were, say, 14 or something
like that? Not your new Kids on the Block posters.
No, so I would walk into Peter's room and I would very carefully avoid the gaze of the Freddy poster. And there was a picture of Freddy Krueger, and he had a doll in one hand.
Yes.
And then he had his knife hands up to his mouth, like he was going, shh.
Yeah, shushing. Yeah. Oh, crap. I thought I had a different one, but yeah, I had that one too.
No, that one's burned in my memory. So
yeah, I also had like the Ultimate Warrior, and I had the Rockers. So for those people who don't know, I guess they're old school WWE or WWF back then guys. And I had what else did I have? I had those ones that you could go into like a what stores can you get them at now? Remember, you used to go into record stores and you get to get the posters of the girls with, you know, the lingerie or like stuff you just can't even get now because people are going to consider it like not PC or anything. And, you know, like the It store. Remember the It store?
Shanti, no? Do you remember the It store?
It's like it was like Spencer's, but even more outlandish.
Hmm. Maybe a little before our time.
Oh, don't say that. No, I feel. But yeah, you could go into any of these stores and you could buy the posters of like Pamela Anderson or Jenny McCarthy or anybody with their cleavage hanging out, and you could get those up on your wall.
Oh,
and,
I remember. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I remember. Yes, I do remember those too.
Just even when blonde jokes were like the big thing, you could buy a blonde joke poster, and I had that too. And
hilarious.
It wasn't because of the jokes; it was because of the girl on the poster.
It was because of the boobies.
Yeah, you gotta like them, right?
We like the boobies. We celebrate the boobies on our podcast.
Excellent. It's like Bloodhound Gang. Hooray for boobies, right?
Yes. It's really nice to go back and see, okay, when did these things start happening? And I feel like we've all really made the most of our childhood obsessions and passions. So,
yeah.
And taking it from there, you refer to yourself as a pop culture geek. Can you elaborate on that?
I don't know. I guess I could just like the stuff that I've always grown up with. And I just suppose that, you know, that I guess I know people that really just, you know, you could see that their childhood died or that that they don't embrace who they are, maybe because they figure once you reach a certain age, you shouldn't listen to a certain genre of music, or you shouldn't like a certain movie anymore, or you shouldn't like even collecting. And I don't believe that. I think that keeping your interests, you know, in full force really makes you who you are, and you get to bring the kid out in you. And I think, you know, being a dad too, that's the kind of thing that I think when my daughter grows up, she's going to really think that's a cool thing. And so I just want to bring that out to, you know, the people that like to read or look at my stuff and the people that I have over, and, you know, they're blown away, and, you know, they like to see that stuff. And they're like, how does this stuff even exist? And I'm like, well, you know, what passed you by? Don't let life pass you by. You got to keep with what your interests are. So it's that kind of things that I've just seen too many of people I've grown up with in one way, just kind of, you know, turn a blind eye that they can't like anything anymore because they think it's childish. And I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people sort of assume after a certain age, it's like these things aren't to be taken seriously, even though they, you know, once gave you so much joy. People just drop that joy out of their life because, like, they think that's what they're meant to do, and they end up losing so much of that joy and of themselves. And I love it when people, just like, you know, with rock and roll, people who take it seriously, it means something. It's not just something to throw away. Or
no, it's a total art form. And that's the whole thing about, you know, like I like collecting, you know, the action figures and collectibles and toys that I do, because, you know, my wife laughed the first time she heard it, but I mean it. I think they're little pieces of art. And the whole thing is, like, people enjoy different art. They like different mediums. And just because it's not one, like, it's not a sculpture or it's not hanging in a museum, that it doesn't mean that it's not a piece of art. These people go through tireless efforts to create what they do, and they get to work for excellent companies like Sideshow Collectibles or Hot Toys or Hasbro or the guys, the Four Horsemen, that get to do Masters of the Universe currently. And these guys bring a passion because they believe in what they do, and it's all art. And just like, you know, the music I like too, like, I'm always buying music because it's something I love. And to me, music is not just downloading a digital file. I like sitting there with vinyl or a CD or a Blu-ray DVD for a concert and enjoying what the artist is going to do, what they put into it. And I think, you know, as I get older, that it's lost on a lot of people. So just trying to bring that out in my site, I guess, is something that, I don't know, just maybe keeps the passion or the flame alive, right?
Wow, you nailed so many things there. And that's so, so, so cool of you. And it's so nice to hear somebody go, I'm paying for this art. I pay for music. I like to hold vinyl. Even your CD collection is insane. Every single CD I ever had in my life, I treated it like garbage, and I don't have any left, and I regret that. My computer doesn't have a DVD drive anymore. I don't get to watch the special features, and that kind of bums me out. So one thing that you mentioned was when your friends look at your collection and they're blown away, and then you also mentioned the word museum, which is exactly how I feel about your collection. It's hard to describe, and it's hard for people to even, like, really believe me. So should I describe your collection?
Yeah, go for it.
Or no, do you want to do it?
No, you do it, because I think it's really cool. It's really weird that I really would wish amnesia on myself for even one day to walk down into my basement and go, holy shit.
Well, here's the thing that I think that we should do is, next time that I'm over, we should take a camera and we should do a walking tour of your mini museum that you have in your house. Not even mini. It's like a museum of collectibles and music that you have in your house. So it starts right from the top of the stairs, walking down. Every piece of wall is covered with a collectible. So all
I really need, I need to move.
It's so cool.
I really do. It's insane that, you know, and this is where I also thank my wife for allowing me to be me, because there are some people, frankly, out there that would not allow a significant other to do something like that because they've got, you know, a prerogative or their priority and stuff like that. And she lets me be me. She lets downstairs be what's downstairs. But she's excellent, too, because she, you know, she likes Walking Dead. So we get those Funko blind bag figures and pop vinyls and stuff like that. So she's almost a big kid in a way, too. So it's just really, really cool.
Wow. But, yeah. Cheers to supportive partners and celebrating that. Right. And she's able to recognize that and have fun and have fun with it too. And
yeah.
And
she's never asked me to change, which is really, really
beautiful.
Awesome. And there are a lot of people that go through life with people always asking somebody to change, and she's never done that.
So you walk down the stairs, and even starting from the top of the stairs, things are covered in collectibles. And the collectibles range from Simpsons characters to Star Wars characters to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to horror to the Freddy Krueger. And as you walk down the stairs and you enter into the basement, then I think you can see the whole open concept of things. And then again, every single surface is taken up in that kind of space. In the middle, you have your entertainment system. On one wall, you have all of your CDs lined up in alphabetical order. And there's a there's a spot for everything. You even have a glass case full of, I imagine, really special figurines and collectibles.
I'm up to six of those cases.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's not even funny. I'm going to put it up on the site. The there's a lot of people that ask how to light these things up or what you do for them. And I'm going to put that up probably by next week. But yeah, I'm up to six. And we've got one in the kitchen for my wife's stuff as well, too. And it's insanity.
Yeah, and they have special lights. And from the basement, there's yet another room that you go into. So there's a room off of the room, and you've got your drum kit, and you've got more stuff up on the walls. And it's just, I was blown away because it grows, but everything has a spot. Everything has a place. It's so well taken care of, and it's just all treated with such respect. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. And it's really cool.
Thank you. I think it's pretty cool too. And a lot of work goes into, you know, trying to acquire some of that. I get, help. I've got a sponsor on my site, Dave at Mad Rush Media, and he's always been really, really good. I've been buying music from him for, I'm going to say about 12 years from eBay. And he's just been somebody that's, you know, if there's a figure or something that can't be shipped to Canada because of licensing issues, I can order to his place where he's gotten them for me. So it's been great, and you know, I've got it's just so nice to have that kind of, you know, support.
That's, you know, fantastic. What I mean?
So yeah, it is. And you know, I got Wes over at another one of my sponsor site for the for his store, and it's been great. So everybody just kind of helped me out over, you know, Silver Screen Toys and Collectibles. And then I've gotten stuff from Figure Shield lately too. And it's just hard sometimes to get some of this stuff with the licensing agreements. Even with when you go through eBay, it can be tough because if you're not careful, you got people that are going to charge you an arm and a leg for shipping, or they're going to eBay's, what is it called? It's like the international, I don't know, shipping program or something. It's awful. It always screws Canadians, I find, because they're always going to put the fees or the taxes on figures, and you know you don't know if you're going to get charged with it, even if a seller was going to ship something. So they take it upon themselves to do it, and it just, I don't know.
People don't realize how much work goes into getting these collectibles.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, I guess that's the other thing, is that there's a figure brand out there like NECA, and they've done really excellent work on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they can only sell in the U.S., and I think Australia is the only other market that they can do. So it sucks, because a lot of people want the stuff, but they just can't sell it, because the brand like Nickelodeon just has their hooks into the franchise. So you can't do anything about it. So, you know, when people take a look at the site, or they look down in the basement or something like that, when I'm showing this stuff off, I don't think people 100% sometimes really know how difficult it can be to get some of this stuff.
Well, that's a great segue into our next question. Maybe it's like picking a favorite child, but I was curious, do you have like a most prized collectible, and is there one collectible out there that like you're desperate to get your hands on but have yet to been able to do that?
Does my wife or child count?
No.
I know, I'm such a nice softy. You know, I did have two kind of holy grails, but I ended up scoring them within the last year. I got a Jabba the Hutt and a throne environment that he sits on. I've always liked Jabba the Hutt as a kid, and the thing is like 60 pounds, so to ship this thing from anybody selling it in the U.S. was almost insanity. They would always charge like $200 to ship the damn thing, just for the throne, not even the Jabba figure. So there was a depot in Michigan, and my buddy Steve ended up having a place that you could pick stuff up from, and he went with his wife to pick it up one day when he went to go and get an order of his, just with some vinyl that he ships there. So that was one of them. And the other one was the Hot Toys Bespin Luke Skywalker, and I ended up scoring him. And usually he goes for about, it's insane. It's insane what these things go for. It usually goes for anywhere from 800 to 1,000 US dollars on eBay. And this guy on a Facebook Canadian collectible Hot Toys group ended up selling it to me for, I think, what was it, $250 Canadian.
Score.
And so basically it was almost what retail was for when it was available, when I didn't collect these things. And it's just amazing. So those are the two things that I think they were my holy grails of toy collecting. Now, music, that could be a whole other story. I need to get Silver, or what was it? Young Modern by Silverchair on vinyl.
Oh, Silverchair's like
such
my favorite.
A freaking awesome album.
You just won Lisa's heart.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Young Modern is such a great album, and that's one that goes shit. I think the last time I saw it goes for about $200. I love Alice Cooper, and so Dirty Diamonds goes for about $150 to $200 on eBay or Discogs. I'd like to get that.
Have you Caravan ever heard of the Alice Cooper connection with the groupie group, the GTOs?
No, I have
so
not.
So Alice Cooper dated a girl in the GTOs, the Girls Together Outrageously. Pamela DeBar was in that band.
Okay.
And it was actually through the makeup that they were wearing at the time, the really dark eye makeup, that they did it on him. Oh. And his look originated from was this group of women.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
See, here I think I am a really good Alice Cooper expert. And you toss that at me.
You're not the only pop culture geek in the family.
No. Now let's get your brother on the show and see what he can contribute.
Oh, I know, yeah. He was on.
Actually,
was on
you know what? I just
episodes.
Said brother. I meant brothers because they both can take us to school at what they know as well as.
Yeah. As
us, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those records, and I think Cathedral's Caravan Beyond Redemption as well.
Wicked. So one thing that I've been curious about is where did the name Electrified Porcupine come from?
I turned over in bed one night and said to my wife, what do you think about this? And I think I said, electric porcupine.
Mm.
And she turned and said, no, I think I saw something like that on the internet. As she was typing something in, and then she said, what about electrified? I said, okay, done.
Oh, so another example of like one of the women, you know, helping out their partner to create the thing.
She's
that
amazing.
He loves so much. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Cause it's a great name and it's really catchy, and you know, the visuals on your site are really beautiful, and yeah, it's,
does your wife have a favorite collectible of yours?
Oh, favorite collectible of mine? Anything that gets kept down in the basement. I don't know. You really? I seriously don't know. She likes the, I think she likes the Hot Toys and Sideshow stuff I get some of the time.
Actually, she's an Elvis fan, and she has two dogs named, well, one of them is still living, the other one passed, but Presley and Priscilla.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, so we got the big Elvis Presley picture in the kitchen.
Nice.
And yeah, R.I.P. Presley. What a good dog that guy was.
He's a good boy.
He's such a good boy. But we got Emma and Priscilla. So, and they keep us busy.
So we've covered that you really know your stuff and you really work extremely hard on your collection and your site. What keeps you motivated, and what are some of the challenges you face being the creator and editor and producer of all this content?
Good question, I guess. I guess it's just because I'm a one-man show, so I have to balance my career with family time and everything that goes along with, you know, with what I do when I'm at home. So, you know, it's either my wife works on the weekends or at nights, and I have duties that I have to attend to for my work when I get home. So it's not just all like, you know, 9 to 5 clock out kind of stuff. So doing that all, plus taking pictures, then editing them, then doing videos, then tweeting, then Instagram, then Facebook, then everything in and out in between when it's just me doing it. It's tough, and I had to renew my site at the beginning of January this year, and I was on the verge of not doing it because I just kind of thought at the time, you know, like who's really reading or watching or doing anything. And then YouTube also took away monetization for people that don't have 1,000 subscribers, and I think something like 4,000 hours of screen time or something like that. And I thought, well, why am I gonna keep, you know, wasting time doing it? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I used to really do a lot was game. I used to have crazy. Yeah, I love gaming. I love my Xbox. I've been an Xbox player and a PlayStation player and a Nintendo guy for, well, I mean, since you were born. Actually, mm-hmm. I was playing before you were born. So, I mean, I love gaming. And with that, too, comes gaming music. Jeez. Anything, too, that comes out that people are putting out on vinyl nowadays with gaming is just fantastic soundtracks. So that's a whole nother issue in itself. But, you know, I sacrifice the time that I really, really like to game for stuff I do on the site. But I think just gives me that satisfaction.
Yeah, I get that.
But I mean, I don't know what more it is. It's just it's just something that I hope people enjoy. And, you know, maybe there might be 50, 100, 200 people that like to see it. But I like to keep my mind busy. So,
yeah, I think a lot of people, too, who work the, you know, 9 to 5s, they've worked all day. They come home, they, you know, spend time with their kid, and then they just want to plop down. And it's totally, of course, it's totally valid, and people can do that, but they plop down from the TV and just Netflix until it's time to go to bed. But, and I do that sometimes, of course, like we all do. We have those moments.
Here, here.
But there's that also, like, you know, creative side of yourself that you need to get out, and that, yeah, that mind is happening all the time. And it's just this, like, now almost this obsession with creating content, that it's nice to put your thoughts and your work and your art out there. And what you're doing is very much, you know, in the arts. So it's the writing, it's the photography, it's the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and considering that I'm not playing in a band currently and haven't had that kind of output, that I really enjoy the writing, I enjoy the photography, I like the editing, and of course there are like thousands and thousands of people that can do it all a billion times better. But I just think when I take a look at my site from the very even the first couple of months to what I do now, the writing, yeah, I kind of think it still kind of stays the same, but I think the videos and the photography and stuff like that has gotten better. So it kind of gives me a little bit of a tap on the back as well too. So yeah, I like keeping my mind busy and having the chance to showcase that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the podcast that we have, I always feel like I've sort of been like training or practicing for this like all my life, because like muses and music has like always been such a passion. And like now it's like, oh, this is what I was doing all that research for. Like this reason just popped up magically. And it seems like that's very much like the case for you as well, where you unknowingly have been like researching and, you know, collecting all your life, and now it's like, oh, okay, I'm meant to put it out there in the world and see where that goes.
And it goes for you too. You guys do phenomenal work, and you know, even your Instagram, for example, things come up on there that I'm like, oh, it's this person's birthday, or you're giving shout out to these people. And, you know, I look at that or listen to what you guys are doing and who you're interviewing, and it exposes me even at, you know, 40 years old to things that I haven't listened to, I haven't researched, people that I wouldn't have known about. And that's so awesome about the sharing community, and when everybody's connected, is because, you know, you're a viable part of bringing forth so many awesome things.
Thank
you guys for, you know, doing what you do, because it's fantastic. It's always cool loading up Instagram every day to be like, oh, whose birthday is it? Who's, you know, what's, you know, muses and stuff going to showcase today? So it's always really cool to see that.
I think it's a good time for us to be doing this too, because people are so nostalgic for their youth and people are so into learning things and going back and trying to find that, you know, childlike wonder in themselves again. And then it's also a really good time for niche markets, right? So these pockets on the internet of people who are into anything and anything from the, you know, like the My Favorite Murders, the Murderinos, to the people who are really into comics and wrestling, and then bringing these communities together. And then it's super fun when the communities can cross. And it's, I think it's just a good time for that. So I think we found ourselves in a sweet spot in terms of we're doing this because we're interested in it. But then there's a whole bunch of other geeks out there like us who are interested in it as well. And it's just a matter of getting it, the content out to them so that they can enjoy it and have fun with it like we are.
Yeah, and that's totally it. It's like, if we're not interested in it, what's the point, right? And people need to read more. Just read. Put down your text the odd time. Open up a book and learn about your favorite artist. Learn about the history behind things like gaming or your favorite hobby. Learn. Like even today, I, you know, first thing did, kind of besides, you know, brushing the teeth, mm-hmm. is you learn that Stephen Hawking died.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
And you're sitting there going, man, if only the people who would put so much effort in fighting, you know, the people against, let's say, Trump or the NRA with all this awful stuff happening in the U.S. would even read his book, like the world could be a more intelligent place. So like, I mean, just people just have to read and be knowledgeable about your content and the stuff that interests you, right?
Keep Absolutely. Growing, keep learning. We're lifelong, yeah lifelong learners.
No one knows definitely. Everything. Like I've, always something to learn.
No, exactly. And it's since having to join having to join Twitter to try and, you know, be another way of getting stuff out there. The stuff that I see on that platform is just insanity. Like the ignorance on Twitter is just...
We hardly go on Twitter anymore. That, even though it was the easiest platform to reach out to quote unquote celebrities and it was fun, we actually, that is our least updated and least looked at social media.
It's insanity, isn't it? Like, I just, I don't mean to bring politics or stuff into it, but when that school shooting in Florida happened and people are on Twitter, like people that were voted into office or in positions of power are talking about these kids being actors. Mm-hmm. Like, how insane are people to actually believe it?
Yeah.
So it's just sad that, you know, you want to take these platforms, like we want to expose people to fun and entertainment, and yet those very platforms can spread such misinformation or hatred. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way before, but that makes total sense.
That's why it's so important that, you know, we fight against that and we put, you know, fun and joyous and insightful things out there as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's another thing where, you know, I'll post a YouTube video or other things and somebody would be like, I've never seen this figure, or really good job. And that just, you know, makes my day, because maybe I've done something to take away from the harshness of maybe somebody's awful day or stuff that, unfortunately, unless we gather as a whole group of people, that we can't change, right? So
right,
it's
I don't think anyone can go to your site and not leave feeling good, you know?
Well, I guess they could if they kind of used a calculator and totaled everything that they paid for. So right then and there, maybe anybody listening to that can maybe toss me money through my PayPal.
Give them some money.
Be like, hey, who else wants to sponsor Electrified Porcupine?
Guys, you should sponsor Electrified Porcupine.
Yeah, get swifty. Sorry, I've been on a Rick and Morty kick, so anything now I want to sing is like get swifty. And have you watched Rick and Morty?
Have you? I have.
I haven't.
I love it.
That is a show that passed me by because I thought it was some kind of Back to the Future parody. And I was like, I don't care about Back to the Future as much as I maybe should to watch it. And holy crap. Well, ask my sister and
it's so funny.
Her yeah. husband too.
They're the best. Oh man, speaking of other family members of mine that are just super into music and hilarious, and I love the videos that Chad has been putting out and the stuff that he's been doing with the camera in the woods, and I really want to do Muses and Stuff Goes Fishing with him.
Okay. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, oh, I just don't want to be in it. I'm like, that's fine. Just set up the cameras then. I would
never.
It's so funny. He's such a private guy, but then we'll do that. Want it exposed to everybody.
And they're so
good.
But then
turn around and say, I'm private and I don't want to do it.
I know.
Love you, Chad.
Oh, we love you, Chad. Okay, so last couple of questions. And while you think about them, I have one thing to say. So your two questions are, who is your favorite wrestler? And then the last question is, have you been to any good shows lately? And while you think about that, I just have to point out that because we're not in the same city and so we're talking over the internet, your little display picture here is Princess Leia and our little display picture is Frank Zappa. And so I like that it's our two worlds combining together. And it's
that's awesome. No, I just did that because I had to re-download Skype because I just reformatted the Mac a little while ago. So it said, put a profile pic here. And I'm like, what do I have on my desktop?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's perfect. A big, awesome little picture. But what was the first one?
Favorite wrestler.
Damn. Mick Foley, eh?
Oh, that's a good one.
Still one of my main guys. Love Chris Jericho.
Did Mick Rick Foley Blair, do Dude Edge. Love and
that was him, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
That's him.
Mankind, yeah. Right? He was also Mankind.
Yeah, that guy, I have no idea how that guy can even walk. he was just great. He was always entertaining on the mic and loved him. People from that era were always like, yeah, it's Stone Cold or The Rock. Well, I don't know. The Stone Cold was okay here and there for me, but the Rock, I've just never been a fan of The Rock.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That's that's sacrilege for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But CM Punk was somebody that I loved, and unfortunately WWE dropped the ball with him. And I'd love to see him come back one day if they could do it. But I guess with WWE, you can never say never, because if it's something to make money, Vince McMahon will do it to make money.
I don't really know much about wrestling, except that when I was a kid, anytime I would visit my grandma, she was like a massive wrestling fan. And so she would always be watching it, and she believed in her heart that, like, every moment of it was just real. It was like a reality TV for her. It was.
And that's what it is. It's my soap opera. And there you go. So, yeah, The Rocker's Ultimate Warrior. I guess it affected me having long hair when I was a teenager, too. So you had the whole rock and roll kind of heavy metal kind of thing blended in with wrestling. So Ultimate Warrior, yeah, he was a great guy, except for, well, not in real life. That guy, that's a whole other podcast there of what that guy
you and Blake could have like a podcast about that. I'm sure he has a few things to say. I would like to see that, actually. I'd like to see a collaboration between you and Blake. I think you guys should start your own podcast, actually, and I'm not even joking.
Blake, let's do it up. Let's get swifty.
Okay, and then last question. Have you been to any good shows lately?
Yeah, I just went to see Anthrax.
Wicked. And
I got to see Anthrax, and it was awesome. And I'm going to see in August, I get to go see Slayer here in London.
Nice.
With Testament, Anthrax, Lamb of God, and Napalm Death.
Wow. What a lineup.
And I've seen all of them except for Testament.
And when you saw them, were you down in the pit or were you?
Oh, I was down. I went down and I was probably one of those guys where I looked too old to maybe be down there. But my buddy Brian and I, we were down.
You're never too old.
We were just screaming the songs because that was one band that I've loved since I was a kid, ever since getting the Among the Living tape from a neighbor. And I've loved Anthrax. They've been one of my favorite bands of all time. And I really wish John Bush would also get back with the band, because John Bush's era with the band was just phenomenal. And it was actually funny that we're out and about today in my vehicle, and Kim was driving, and I had Anthrax's Stomp 442 in the car, and just watching my wife tap her hand to the drums, and I'm like, she's tapping to Anthrax. This is cool. You better not say anything, because you're enjoying her enjoying Anthrax. This is awesome.
And I think that's a beautiful place to wrap. Thank you so much for talking with us. More. This has been a lot of fun.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.